Was a moment's notice, and before that we had Big Bad Henry and Airmail. I'm Andy Parks, and you're listening to the world of Big Ben right here on WHFR.FM.
Half of young Americans can't locate economic powers like Japan and India. 20% can't even find the Pacific Ocean. Without geography, our children aren't ready for the world. Geography is everywhere. It's incredible creatures, rhythm, fashion, flavor. It's economics and politics. It's change. Understanding connections between people and places is critical in the 21st century. That's why we created MyWonderfulWorld.org to give our kids the power of global knowledge. Go to MyWonderfulWorld.org for your free parent and teacher action kits. Because kids who understand our world today can succeed in it tomorrow.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Love to design stuff and play on the internet? Henry Ford Community College offers a one-year certificate program in web technologies and design. Advanced HTML, computer art, web authoring tools, and web multimedia are a few of the courses offered.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
The program is designed to prepare a student to take CIW Certificate Internet Webmaster exams.
For more information on CIW exams, log on to www.ciwcertified.com.
Drop by the HFCC Counseling Office or log on to the web at hfcc.edu.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Well, the clock ticketh and my time runneth out. I'm Andy Parks, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Journey of Trance is back right here on WHFR.
Out here at Dearborn Homecoming, and this is the new WHFR Journal from WHFR Dearborn, making waves. We're out here live, and we may sound a little unusual to you today because we're not only out live on location. I'm here with my co-host, Ned Apigian, and here's the story before I go to speakerphone here. The story is that AT&T is only now installing a phone line. They're a little behind schedule, like an hour and 5 minutes, but one of their repair people are here with a big ladder, and they're climbing the pole, and he's got a bandana on him and a hard hat, and he's got tools dangling every side of his belt, and now he's walking away.
Not on the pole.
Oh, my gosh. He must have to go back to get something. What a thing. So a little late with our direct phone line. So Ned and I are going to open up the phone here to a speakerphone situation, and we know that the first thing we want to cover is on local news and views, the new WHFR Journal, is the election results. Now, this is not even in the Dearborn Press and Guide or Times Herald this week, so we're going to try to get this across. There is, of course, sirens going off. People are having great fun here. We're right by the carnival, so we'll see how this, an airplane's going over, but we're switching the speakerphone now, so let's hope it's still good for you folks. Okay, it's Jay Kornick and Ned Apigian. Say hi, Ned.
Hi.
Hi. Okay.
And the rest, and everybody else is behind us.
Right. You might want to lean in a little bit when you talk to this, but here, what I'm going to do right now is go through the results quickly of the election in Dearborn for city council. There was 25 candidates for 14 spots, and in November, these same 14 people that I'm going to mention are going to go on to the November election, and it'll be narrowed down to the top seven, which will be our new city council. As might be expected, the incumbents, all seven of them, are in the top 14. But it's kind of interesting to me that the top five incumbents, Tefelski, Hubbard, Duraney, Serini, and Shoshanian, they're all tightly packed at the top. Duraney coming in, I think, an amazing, surprising third, since he hasn't been on the council more than a couple of terms.
One
term, and he was appointed to. And Tefelski, of course, was the top vote-getter after O'Reilly in the past, always. He was always number two, and when O'Reilly went on to be mayor. So he still is the top vote-getter, even in this primary. So Tefelski, Hubbard, Duraney, Serini, Shoshanian. But then you would think that all seven incumbents would be the top seven. No. Then we have in vote count number six, spot number six, Sharon Domage. And that's D-U-L-M-A-G-E. Sharon has been on the Dearborn Board of Education and also same people serving as the Board of Trustees for Henry Ford Community College. She came in number six.
Which means she has a lot of name recognition, too.
Right. Of course she does. For more than 20 years serving on the Board of Ed, name recognition definitely helped her. But it's interesting that Doug Thomas and Bob Abraham, who are incumbents, they came in eighth and ninth out of the 14 field. Who came in seventh? Brian C. O'Donnell. And I'm sorry to say I don't have my notes from the League of Women Voters. I don't remember his background offhand.
Oh, he answered the question.
But he did answer the questions, I believe, yeah, for the League of Women Voters documentation. But then Doug Thomas is number eight.
I thought he was the one that did.
Well, there was quite a few that did.
There was
four or five that did not, yeah. And some made the top 14, which I'll mention here. I think O'Donnell did, though. Doug Thomas came in number eight. Bob Abraham came in ninth. Now, I just wonder, and remember all the opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College. Don't blame them if Ned or I say something, an opinion, it's our opinion, that doesn't quite agree with what you think. But I really believe that Bob Abraham had some very bad press for 3-4 months at the end of last year when it was brought out that he was behind in paying property taxes on some condominiums that he and other partners were trying to sell in West Dearborn.
Which may not have been his fault entirely.
Well, he claimed the business didn't pay, but he was one of the partners in the business, And so finally, after 3 months and almost, well, really being threatened with being kicked off the city council because of that liability.
Can they do that?
Yeah, it's in the charter. It's in the Dearborn City Charter that no one can serve an elected office in Dearborn unless they are, you know, not in arrears or broken any laws in Dearborn. So in any event, yes, they were ready to, I believe, after 3 months of talking to him about this, getting out of it. But he knew he had to run for re-election, and he had to clear the deck, so he paid the taxes. Of course, it just raises the question to me, and I said this before on my show, if he could pay the taxes in one fell swoop himself, why didn't he do it 2 years earlier? You know,
well,
I mean, that's
3 months earlier.
Or 3 months earlier, before it even hit the fan, you might say, yeah. And you know what, I'm talking about hitting the fan. Okay. So maybe the bad publicity doesn't mean he's not going to win in November. He's around here. I saw some of his campaigners here at Dearborn Homecoming. And this is Dearborn's Ford Field, folks, where we are live broadcasting from. We're going to be here from 11 to 8, not with this show, but with WHFR's tent and booth. We'll tell you more about that a little later. Just going down the list, 10th on the slot was David W. Bozzi. And I know I've interviewed David before. He ran for either city council or maybe the mayor's position. After Mayor Guido died, there was a lot of people running for mayor.
And he's not an incumbent.
He's not an incumbent, but he's in top 14. George Hart, certainly name recognition there, former city councilman and also former
senator.
State senator, right. But he came in 11th. Yeah, 11th out of 14.
Well, he's like an incumbent, that's for sure.
Well, I think with his name recognition, although he's not been, you know, he's not served in his Senate office for maybe 4 years or 5 years.
Probably.
So he's lost a little bit of name recognition just for...
Anybody old enough would know him.
Well, surprising to me, someone who did not take out an ad in the newspaper, someone who did not respond to the League of Women Voters questionnaire, is a Patrick M. Kiernan, K-I-E-R-N-A-N. And, of course, that name is associated in Dearborn with Kiernan's Steakhouse on Michigan Avenue. Whether or not it's the same family, we don't know.
But name has been on Michigan Avenue for a long time.
Yeah, like people drive by. Yeah, it's like an ad for your name for years and years and years. And I did see just north of Cherry Hill here in Dearborn, in the West Dearborn side of town here, I did see some yard signs for Kiernan.
Yeah, I have. They're green, too.
Yeah, the green ones. Now, there weren't any in East Dearborn, where I live. Kind of interesting. So either
not enough Irish over there.
Yeah, either it's name recognition or the green thing, Irish green, you know.
You got to have green. You got an Irish name, you got to have green.
Right. Now, someone who did advertise in the paper and did fill out the questionnaires, Patrick D'Ambrosio. I know I saw him at a couple of farmer markets here, Dearborn Farm Markets, with his people. He came in 13th out of 14. And then Ali Syed came in number 14. And therefore, all of those people, all the incumbents, plus Sharon Domage, Brian O'Donnell, David Bozzi, George Hart, Patrick Kiernan, Patrick D'Ambrosio, and Ali Syed will be going on to the big race in November.
How about the difference of 6 votes? That's
right.
Interesting.
Between position 14 and 15, and 14 was the cutoff to go to the November election.
Remember this. This is important.
Sure is. Only 6 votes difference between Adrian Wiganek, and there's a name that in the past was, I think, a city treasurer or someone like that. Yeah, it should be recognizable to some older Dearbornites anyway. But only 6 votes difference, or 7 votes more for her, and she would have been number 14. So it really pays to knock on doors in any political campaign. You always should do as much as you can do. There's George Durrani and Gary Warrenchuk way over there. See him? See him?
Actually, I don't.
Yeah? They could wave, but they're not coming.
Oh,
besides, they're incumbents, so we don't talk to incumbents, except if they come by. So they pass us by, folks, but they probably didn't see us here next to the merry-go-round.
Absolutely.
Okay, don't want to blame them. But a lot of other people...
But we are looking for challenges.
Yes. I want to explain to our listeners what we're going to do here on WHFR. The challengers in the top 14, that is Domage, O'Donnell, Bazzi, Hart, Kiernan, D'Ambrosio, and Syed, we're going to get in touch with, and we're going to give 30-minute interviews, not a debate, because I want to ask different questions for different people. Depends on their background, you know, and what we know about them. But we're going to either pre-record or do live these interviews on the new WHFR Journal show between now and November. And it's going to be up to them to respond to our phone calls and to get scheduled, and it's their pick. Like, if next week the first person says, I want to go on the week before the election, that Friday before, that's fine with us.
Oh.
It may be a tactic thing. You might want to go on earlier rather than later, especially for those absentee ballots. But we're going to have them on the show, folks. The challengers, not because we don't love the incumbents, some of them we do.
They don't need as much help.
But they don't need as much help. They already have a track record. They already have the name recognition. I know Sharon Domage has name recognition, so does George Hart. But our principal here is the challengers, not the incumbents. And so we'll be getting in touch, and we'll move on to other stories here on the show. This is the new WHFR Journal. Ned and Jay live from Dearborn Homecoming on speakerphone. AT&T is working.
Not on the ladder.
Yes, yes. Ken just walked by. Good, Ken. Okay. He's come back. We're going to do the show as Ned gets the line. Thanks to AT&T, we'll be on the line. Maybe in 5 minutes, maybe. So we'll see. But right now it's speakerphone. So
hope springs eternal.
Okay. I wanted to mention from the Press and Guide, Ned, that the city of Dearborn has got a grant for $2.3 million, and it's going to go to the police department in this case to hire 10 more officers.
Guess where this comes from. This is part of the package of which a third of that stimulus package is designated for this purpose.
I
know that. I heard it today.
Yep.
A third has to do with helping communities hire, I believe firemen are included as well as police officers.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure of that. So Congressman Dingell was able to secure for the city of Dearborn. And, of course, he has other communities in his district that he needs to do the same for, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps the number 10 is probably the largest number for any of the communities in Dingell's district. We would like to read part of this for you. Grant, it says that... This is by Sean Delaney. The Dearborn Police Department recently learned it is the recipient of nearly $2.3 million in federal grant funds, which Chief Ronald Haddad said would be used to put 10 new officers on the streets. We're already hired three, Haddad said Monday. The new officers would be stationed primarily in the city's east end. The grants provide 100% of the approved salary and benefits for the officers for a three-year period. Police departments receiving grants will have to keep the grant-funded positions for a fourth year, presumably at their expense. And the quotation goes from the chief is as follows. We lose enough people every year that committing to keep 10 officers on for a fourth year was an easy decision. Adab said adding the department is required to have at least 205 officers on board at all times.
Right. My comment here about this, Ned, is that, John Dingell, of course, helped to do that. But, folks, this is not only, it's kind of like stimulus money, but it actually undercuts one of the campaign
promises
of at least five of those 25 challengers, five of the 14 challengers anywhere, or the, wait a minute, seven, 18 challengers there used to be.
Whatever.
Because one of their issues, they said, we don't have enough police.
Yeah, but then they'd need to have the money to pay for it, so talk is cheap.
Now, I do have to say, though, according to the numbers, we don't have that much crime problem in Dearborn that we need more police. I mean, I had to talk to...
Apparently, according to the chief, it's required to have at least 205 officers. I don't know if that has something to do with the...
Well, apparently, I think some of the challengers...
It's a percentage of the population.
No, it's a percent of the population.
Right.
And I think the population in Dearborn is going up a little bit. Yeah, the point is, it looks like maybe those campaign promises, maybe they actually found out that we were understaffed there. According to the charter, we need a certain number of percent, you know, of population. And so,
I'm sure the chief has to know what that number
is. So I think all the incumbents are very happy that they can't have that criticism, that they're not hiring enough police, even though this doesn't come out of the Dearborn budget, right, that for 3 years this comes from the federal government. The fourth year, though, they think they, because of retirements and that,
right,
they have enough people to, I mean, they'll keep these same people hired. So there's still work for policemen. That's the good news.
Once you got your foot in the door, it's hard to get it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are we doing with our hookup?
Well, the report here is that
almost.
So Andy Paul is back there in the station listening to this. We could have extremely better phone connection in a few minutes, and this is for Andy's sake because we're live on the air right now. I know, Andy. But what we're going to do is when that is ready, Susan will call in on another line. And when you see the other line, just go ahead and answer it. You know, push the button, put us on hold or whatever. We'll wait, and then we'll switch over to the headsets and the mics on the other system. So there might be a need for playing a PSA or two, Andy, if you want to cue those up if you haven't already.
So that we can be
maybe
current.
Maybe Susan Garrett is there working the board. Susan Morrell, our news director, excuse me. Why don't I get the name correct? How soon I forget. Okay, so Susan or Andy, we're not able to talk to you right now, but we're going to try to switch over to the other system in a minute. So take that phone call when we tell you that we're calling. Okay, so when you see it flashing, talk to Susan McGraw. And if you have to cut us off, so be it. We'll be back on in 30 seconds.
I'm glad you got that problem, and it's not me.
Yeah, well, Susan is our general manager, Susan McGraw here.
No, I mean at the station.
Yeah, she's on top of it. Okay, looking through the press guide quickly, they briefly mentioned is that the big story from Dearborn for the last 2 weeks has been the Chihuahua rescue. And yesterday, and I'm sure it was on all the news media, you know, we have two news right across from us. They were doing live this morning. They were out here shooting the seniors. I mean, not literally, you know, but videotaping. And they did some live reports. So
here,
right here. They had the big homecoming. Microwave towers up. So, Dearborn Homecoming has finally hit the big time. We've got a big-time commercial broadcast station here. Just for information to our listeners, though, we've been here with the new WHFR Journal, and WHFR has spent for 20 years broadcasting live from out here. 20-year tradition.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah,
hard to believe. I bet the time really flew by for you,
well,
especially.
Yeah, all I can say about the Chihuahuas is that we did a special in-depth interview, and yes, they started being adopted yesterday from the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and I'm sure there's many more that will be made available.
Yeah, here.
Hi, Broadcast Radio. Help yourself with a newsletter and a pen.
Newsletter and a pen?
Yeah, we're actually live now, so excuse me. So the addition of the report is that the Chihuahuas are going to be continue to be adopted. Some of them are in very good shape, bounce back from their trauma quickly, but all the 100-plus are not immediately available. They have a waiting list, which is wonderful. And I just wanted to promote Pet Lovers Lane, if we get the show edited in time. We'll be on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We have a great interview with Elaine Green, who is the executive director of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and it's a great story to tell about all the ins and outs of what happened and why, that in-depth story. So for all you pet lovers out there, tune in to WHFR tomorrow morning from 10 to 11 a.m. to get Pet Lovers Lane, special edition with the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And
well, I've been in that building, and I don't know where they have room for 100 more. But whatever it is, they're taking the time to find adoptees for these dogs.
A little short course.
And those of you who love Chihuahuas, this is your opportunity to get one. I won't say cheap or inexpensive. There are costs associated with adopting them.
The dog adoption is, if I'm not mistaken, $200.
Around that.
But that's all the medical shots and the little ID chip, which doesn't hurt them, where it can be identified if they're lost, and
whatever you
they give them the doggy blankets and the kitty blankets, and so it's a whole kit and caboodle of stuff they get. Right now, there is a special on cats, And even some cats from this Chihuahua house, there was like a dozen or so cats, and six of them unfortunately didn't make it. That they had diseases and they had to be euthanized. But six other wonderful cats from the Chihuahua house, as well as hundreds of others, are available there. And this is what they're doing. $20, I think, for a cat. And if you get one and you want a pet, you want company for the one cat, you get another one free. So
really?
Yeah.
How come they don't do that with the dog?
Because they don't have as many dogs.
There is a cat
overpopulation at the animal hospital, and they're again, the cats come with all shots and the ID, and you'll hear the whole story tomorrow. If you can't listen tomorrow from 10 to 11, folks, go to our website.
Go to the shelter, too.
You can go to the shelter directly, any day of the week. But go to our website, whfr.fm, click on the forum show, after 11 a.m. tomorrow, and tomorrow's date, which is August 8th, and that's the show, and you can listen later on. But you can get the full story also from dearborn/animals.org. That's the website for the animal shelter. Yeah. So that's the Chihuahua story.
That takes care of the dogs.
Now. And the cats.
And the cats, right.
I wanted to mention, we just had somebody that passed the WHFR booth out here. We're broadcasting live from Ford Field, folks. Senator Carl Levin in the Press and Guide this week in Dearborn has an article about how he wants the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to build a barrier, a dike, a dam of some sort, to prevent Asian carp from coming in the Great Lakes. There are real pollution problems down south, and they can really kill our Great Lakes if they get in.
They're in.
And they are in, I believe, as well as, of course, the lamprey eels, and there's something else, too. Do you remember what the other infestation is?
There's
a red tide of algae every now and then.
I was thinking of the...
1 minute. Okay, 1 minute, we're going to cut over to the other system.
What is the shell thing that are clogging up the water supply lines? I can't think of the name of it. It's like a shellfish.
Yeah.
That's clogging up the...
I saw a documentary on... it's called Water Life. It's coming out in the theaters soon. Documentary feature film made by the National Film Board of Canada.
Uh-huh.
Great documentary people up there.
About the Great Lakes.
All about the Great Lakes. And the pollution problems, folks, even as far up as Traverse City and Lake Superior, are terrible. I mean, I just came back from Traverse City... Just looking out from the beach up there, it looks lovely, nice and blue, and the air seems kind of, well, definitely fresher than Detroit, but oh my God.
It's brisk up there.
The water is
cold,
but it's also got significant pollution. Would you believe there's a large quantity of Prozac in the Great Lakes? That doesn't make me feel less stressed to know that. That all kinds of
people are throwing their pills.
Apparently, yeah. I don't know how that's happening. Maybe it just passes through the human body and doesn't go away.
Maybe all of us can use a little.
Oh, free pretzel.
Free pretzels. How perfect.
Okay, we just got a free pretzel offer. I can't mention who because it'd be a commercial over the air. But we're getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna take a break now. So who's ever back in the studio? If it's Andy or Susan Morrell. Okay, Susan, maybe you want to play a spot. Otherwise, don't worry about it. We'll be talking to you on the other line in just a minute. So to all of our listeners, hang in there. We'll be back within 30 seconds on the other phone line. So goodbye on this line.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a PSA, but we'll be back on the other line in a minute. So bye-bye. I'm hanging up this phone.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Not all criminals carry a gun or a knife. Some simply need to pick up the phone or ring a doorbell. In times like these, senior citizens are often the targets of con artists, hawking shady investment deals and phony charities. Be wary of strangers in your neighborhood soliciting services or asking for money. Many cons come in the way of phony home repair services. These thieves offer major home repairs at bargain prices, but they end up taking your money and never finishing the work. Don't become a victim. Be skeptical of offers that are too good to be true. Never allow anyone to force you to sign something, and never give personal information to people you don't know. Get estimates and never pay in advance. If you suspect fraud, get the contractor's license plate number and call the police immediately. If something doesn't seem right, it's probably not. Protect yourself. Visit ncpc.org to learn more. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
What will happen when she does?
We should hear the PSA or hear her talking to us. She hasn't done that. She hasn't turned on the phone circuit. Hello? 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 Hello?
I talked to her, but we're not on yet. She's waiting to the end of the
you
have a cell phone caller and tell
no,
her.
No, wait. Just wait a minute.
You're on the air.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, this is Jay Koronick and Netta Pigian, and now we have a direct phone line thanks to AT&T.
We got it 30 minutes later than we were supposed to, but hopefully we'll make the last 30 minutes more entertaining.
I don't want to carp, but it's actually an hour and 30 minutes later than what they promised, but that's AT&T, and I've talked about them before, and that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. As Jack Lessenberry said, and I've got to repeat it, folks, if there's anything you can do to not deal with AT&T ever, then that's what you should do. I'm not saying any other company specifically is better, but his editorial in the Metro Times from, I think it's 3 weeks ago, that was his thesis. No one should ever, ever, ever deal with AT&T. And I had my own horror story, which I won't repeat, and so I had to switch. But this, by golly, we're working. It's wonderful. We are paying a small fee. This is not, AT&T did not donate this line to us, just so you know. But they gave us the usual residential rate, even though we're out here in the middle of Ford Field. So
we're not making any money here. So
we thank them for that, right? We're not making a profit on this line. So let's go on with the new WHFR Journal. Ned, you have a story about Michigan House Speaker Andy Dillon, which is from the Dearborn Heights area.
Yeah,
so
he does represent the Dearborn Heights and Redford and part of Livonia, as I remember. The story goes as follows.
Let me indicate. This is actually the editorial, the only main editorial in the
Jackson Citizen.
This is the Times-Herald.
Right.
And
to reprint.
And what they have done is borrowed an editorial about Andy Dillon from the Jackson Citizen Patriot newspaper,
right?
Which is one of their allied newspapers. So even out in Jackson, Michigan, they know about Andy Dillon. So go ahead with
the
story.
They ought to know about Andy Dillon since he's the Speaker of the House. So anyway, Michigan House Speaker Andy Dillon is offering a bold idea, even if it will not serve as the immediate solution to state government's ongoing budget crisis. His idea of saving almost $900 million a year through combining state employee health plans will take years to realize. Still, Dillon has displayed something just as valuable 2 months before the state possibly shuts down: the willingness to think big. We need more of that from this governor and legislature. The House Speaker this month suggested putting all the Michigan public employees under one health plan, not just those who work for state government directly, but some 400,000 public employees, from teachers to police officers to township clerks, consolidating hundreds of health plans into one would lead to efficiency.
And I have to add here that it's that not just the state employees, so-called, but to include all the teachers in the state, the K-12 teachers, and the police officers.
Which those, have their own programs, generally.
Yeah, that's going to... already there's been a lot of concern on the part of the unions that represent teachers and police officers.
As I remember the numbers from our last week's show, we discussed the health plans, family plans we're talking about, range from $12,000 to $17,000.
Yep.
And I remember the teacher plan was around $15,000. $17,000 was more like state employees.
Mm-hmm.
Private plans that most of us would be involved is around $12,000. And I think what he's trying to do is average that number of $10,000, $12,000 to $17,000.
As we know, there's a quantity buying discount. So if they had the same health company for all the state employees, as he indicates, it says it could lead to efficiency. Well, it could be cost-cutting, but it could also boost their buying power, which means that collectively everybody could get even better coverage.
I understand from reading his program last week that the so-called efficiencies in joining plans will not save that kind of money.
Right.
That what has to happen, as you well know, is there has to be some consolidation, some possible reduction, and increases in co-pays on behalf of everybody. There's just no way to save that kind of money.
I understand that Governor Granholm's sure she wants to support this.
Yeah, but that's part of the deal. We don't want to mislead people that it's only efficiency.
No.
So when you're...
the teacher unions, like the Michigan Education Association, has already declared war on the proposal.
Absolutely.
And I should mention, as a retired college professor at this point, we have a pension program, but what about health insurance? We get a discount on Blue Cross Blue Shield or some other HMO plan.
And you also gave up some stuff this year.
Oh, well, my coverage is much less. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know how good I had it until I got on this reduced plan. But the problem is that this is not guaranteed for any retired teacher. The pension is, okay, thank goodness, but not the health care. So if the state goes broke and it's already $1.5 billion in debt, which they have to figure out how to balance that by October, they could actually cut all the health care for retired teachers. And so I personally am very concerned about that.
I don't think he'll come to that. Some portion of it will be changed.
But the minimized health care we have, I mean, it's all like copay. I have to pay like $250 or $500 first in any category before I get any help. So luckily I'm not too sick. But if I was real sick, I'd still have to pony up the first $250 or $500, depending on what the situation was.
Is this a hospital admission?
Even for office calls.
Oh, you have.
I gotta pay for every office call until the bill comes to more than $250.
Oh, well, that's not bad because I pay $15 for every office call by
Ned,
the end of
Ned
the year.
Ned is also of a certain age.
Yeah, I mean, I have a, I guess what's called, I have a health maintenance with the
HMO, health maintenance organization. Yeah.
So if I went to the doctor 10 times in a year, it would be $150, and if I go to a specialist, it's $30, so it comes to pretty much the same number.
Right.
The important thing is when you go to the hospital, you don't want a $30,000 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you had your surgery, remember what the number was on that?
Yeah, that little operation came to $100,000.
Right, and then I think you probably have to pay the first
$150? No, not then. I had to pay nothing. It total coverage on everything. Including office visits when I was fully employed. But that's because our union was able to take the money that the college gave us, and we actually shopped around. They allowed us to shop around.
What is it now for you?
I chose Blue Cross Blue Shield because that is equally good in every state.
Right.
And the HMOs, if I moved to Texas, I'd only get emergency coverage. Or I'd have to buy all new insurance.
So our listeners need to know that this is a gigantic issue that we're talking about in
the
country.
Healthcare for all of us is a big issue.
And let anybody scare you out of the deal. This problem needs to be resolved somehow.
As we've been doing interviews on single-payer healthcare here, and some people may say, I don't want the government between me and my doctor. Your HMO is already in between you and your doctor. You don't know it yet because you haven't gotten into trouble yet. If you've seen Michael Moore's film Sicko, which is all true, and in fact, the Schultz, the vice president of Sigma, which is the second largest healthcare organization in the U.S., he has now revealed all the documents about the smear campaign they had, that they actually put millions of dollars in to smear Sicko and smear Michael Moore, which was all lies. It was all lies. Moore told the total truth there. People that think they have health care now, you haven't tried to use it enough, folks. You haven't developed a condition where they can kick you off or raise your rates. The health care system now in America is a terrible mess. We're paying too much money for, you know, poor health care. And however you want to look at it, single payer is the best answer. In fact, guess what? If there was a national, if there was a national single payer health care plan like Germany or France or, yes, even Canada, the state of Michigan and Andy Dillon wouldn't have to worry about this.
Well, of course not.
In fact, I just heard about the German plan. The German government has had national health care since the 19th century.
Right. Bismarck introduced it in 1885.
That is right. Yes. I couldn't believe it. Now, what? How is it paid for? Okay.
Paid for
businesses pay 8%.
I don't know.
8% of their profits. And it's 7% for everyone else out of their income. And that's it. It's been that way for years, folks. And it works. And they've got, well, second to France, the second best healthcare system in the world is Germany. And they pay for it. And they have no problems paying for it using that system.
You want me to tell you a story about France?
And their costs are lower. Yeah, go ahead.
A friend of mine, I had a visitor from the Netherlands come to visit me on a subject of concern.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, who has a cousin from France, was visiting Los Angeles, had a terrible brain injury. The French government sent a plane, a doctor, and a nurse to pick him up and take him back to France, which was cheaper than having, because he wasn't insured here, than having some work on him here in the United States. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got perfect care.
Well, again, you can look at the movie Sicko. It's a great DVD rental, folks.
Oh, it's a DVD rental.
It's a DVD rental now, and they actually have gone to Canada and France and Germany and interviewed American immigrants who moved there for the health care. Okay, they moved there so they could start getting the health care in those countries.
Well, the interesting thing, all the hoobala about this health care program, Obama's plan and what the Democrats are proposing is not a single payer.
No, in fact, we'll be lucky to even get what's called the government option.
It's a matter of reforming the private insurance to guarantee that everybody's insured.
Yeah.
And when everybody's insured, they can't cut you off for pre-existing.
Yeah. Well,
and if you should leave your job, that's the only thing this is about.
It's true that some of these reforms can be done now with the system we have now.
Right.
Like, they can't kick you off for a pre-existing condition. They can't raise your rates. There's reforms that need to be done. There's no doubt about that. But that alone won't save costs. That won't save the system. And the public option, as it's called, which Obama said, you have a choice of the government plan or keeping your own, that looks like it may be dead in Congress unless we tell our Congress people that we at least want that. But that won't save costs. The only thing that's going to lower costs and improve and make coverage consistent is a single-payer government plan, which could be phased in, but still, it's gotta be that way. If we're trying to save money as well as make these reforms, my opinion, not necessarily that of Henry Ford Community College, is we have to go with a universal system, single-payer health care. And then Dillon and the state of Michigan and the state of Massachusetts, you know, who has his health care for everybody, but they're way in debt. They're going broke.
You have to buy it there. That's what they're saying. You have to.
Yeah, you're forced to in Massachusetts if you want to work anywhere. You're forced to buy it. And they supposedly are trying to keep costs down, but it didn't work. The only thing that will contain cost is universal single-payer health care.
And unfortunately, nobody's really proposing this because they think the politics of it is, well, look and see what's being done to the program. Every sort of misrepresentation is being announced about it.
Yeah, all this
like
stuff.
Like your pets will not be served. I didn't know. Is anybody's pet covered on the
No, this is all stuff like seniors will just be allowed to die and euthanized and all this. This is lies. Not even the Republicans in Congress are proposing any of these things. Where does Fox TV News Channel get this? Where does Glenn Beck get this? You know, he's been broadcasting false information, according to Jon Stewart anyway, on The Daily Show. He's been proven to get his facts wrong.
And well, I guess there's nothing that says you can't, nobody can come back and say you cannot just say a bold-faced lie that you invent.
You can say anything you want to unless you're in court under oath.
Oh, I guess. All right.
There's no law against lying, unfortunately.
Oh,
there's,
really?
And unfortunately, as some teachers might want to say, no lie against being stupid either. No law against being stupid. So this is America. We have a right to be stupid if we want to be, right? We have a right to not read and not study and just believe things that people on TV or radio tell us.
Well, let's
never
conclude this discussion by telling what Governor Jennifer Granholm, who's also a Democrat, obviously has some concern about Dylan's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Granholm was offered little leadership in this budget crisis, has appeared noticeably cool to Dylan's idea. It includes lawmakers who, through inertia or inexperience, also have not tugged at the roots of the state's budget problem.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you. If I was a state representative or a state senator, and I was proposed with a $1.4 billion deficit, the first question I'd ask is, where is the whole 1.4 going to come from? A little from where, a little bit from where? Because if this was a business, you wouldn't be in business long if you didn't take care of it.
Well, they've got
problem.
Till October 1st.
Then what happens?
Yeah, here's my feeling about this, and it ties in with this other editorial from Tim Skupik we have here.
Oh, Skupik's editorial.
That's from the editorial.
Right.
It's actually June 28th. I didn't do it for a couple of weeks. But
it's current.
You know that Governor Granholm, of course, we'll be out of office in the next election.
Right.
Is that 2010? The next year?
That's right.
Next year.
December 31st,
now, she'll
be out of office.
She's term limited, so she can't run again.
Right.
And she's been supporting the front runner in the Democratic Party, Lieutenant Governor John Kerry. Right. Now, if Andy Dillon, if his plan actually went into effect and everybody loved it for some reason, he might become, according to Tim Skupik, a candidate for governor, and might kick Cherry out. So if Granholm is trying to do something nice for John Cherry, who I've never met, I have no clue what he's like. I don't think he's a non-personality as far as I'm concerned.
I have met him.
Uh-huh. And you think?
Well, he's not an exciting person. He's not a handsome guy. He's, you know.
He might be a very good person. I know he was on
I mean, he's not a dynamic.
Right.
Not like you're talking to John Kennedy.
You know, everybody knows we don't need somebody that's handsome. We just need somebody that's smart and wise, in fact.
He might be, I don't know.
That can lead and also negotiate and mediate problems and work with the legislature. And the problem is that he may be able to do this, but he can't win unless maybe he's more handsome or more charismatic in his public appearances. So,
the advantage of Dylan is he has a Republican streak down his back, which is helpful in order to work with the Republican legislature.
Was he a former Republican?
He was...
or just a very conservative Democrat?
He was one of those... He was a magistrate in Redford, like a judge.
A judge? Judge-like person?
Yeah, and I think he may have been on the Redford Council on a supervisor. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, but he got
he
in
was
trouble
a
as
very
as a,
important businessman. He actually, with his partners, bought companies and turned them around. So he knows what he's talking about when you're talking about money, finances. He's an attorney as well as an accountant.
Okay. I was almost going to try to call him to come on the show today, but we got busy with setting up here.
I will. He knows me, and call him and try to invite him to come to one.
Yeah, that'd be great. He's probably pretty busy till October, though, with the budget issue, since he is the House Majority Leader. He is the Democratic Majority Leader, which is why he was targeted for that recall petitions, that he survived a recall last year, a year ago, 2008, I think. It was November 2008.
Silly thing.
Well, it may have been silly, but because they proposed some tax shifts, some new types of taxes. He was targeted by the No New Tax group in Michigan. I forget their name now.
Actually, the leader of that is here in Dearborn Heights.
Yes.
Rose, who also I know, comes to council meetings.
Well, she's the Wayne County Taxpayers Association head or president.
Right.
And the statewide group is something similar.
Yeah, but she initiated this again.
Rose Bogart. Right. Yes. Right. Now, Rose, we love you, and we understand nobody wants new taxes, but we do think Andy Dillon was kind of unfairly targeted. The state, what are you going to do October 1st? I mean, what's the state going to do?
No new taxes, no new money, no services.
How are you going to cut $1.5 billion? I think at the time we shifted taxes 2 or 3 years ago when this crisis came up real bad, too, it was only like $800 million. This is like twice as bad.
You know what happened during Engler's time? There's this Republican song they keep singing, reducing taxes. What they're trying to do is break government. If you take the money out of government, government can't function. So when you hear the Democrats talking about raising taxes, they're talking about returning the tax to the levels they were before the taxes were cut. That's why government can't work.
Well, we have
so many... they're saying they're raising your taxes.
They do it. We have many essential state services that I think should be continued. The amount of cuts that they found so far only amount to a couple hundred million. But there'll have to be substantial cuts and or substantial taxes to balance the budget, which they must do by October 1st. California found no way to do it.
So they're going to have to find a way.
They're bankrupt,
too.
And they're sending out IOUs to state employees.
You can't cash an IOU.
No, you can't. They thought maybe they could deposit an IOU as a sort of a money that's still coming. You know, that could be borrowed against or something. But the banks of California said no way. You can't even deposit an IOU. It's not real money. It's not real money. You can trust the state, can't you? No, we can't. They're bankrupt, aren't they? Yes, they are.
I think they're going to get some of the stimulus money that they're entitled to, but that's not going to solve all their problems.
The state of California has asked for a bailout of their debt.
They'll get their fair share of the stimulus money.
Some stimulus money, but it won't really be a bailout of their big debt, which is much more than Michigan's.
You know why you can go to college free in California? How long is that going to last?
No, I don't think you can.
If you're a resident, you go free.
No, you used to. Reagan stopped that back in the 60s.
Oh, I'm not.
Yes, it is. Well, we'll look that up, Ned.
We don't have
an internet connection here. We're live at Ford Field. If you hear all kinds of noise in the background, folks.
If you can smell the popcorn, you would really appreciate it.
Yeah, popcorn smell goes right through the phone lines. Let me tell you. It's very strong.
Let's see if we got another topic.
Well, I just wanted to finish the article.
Oh, Skubik.
Skubik in mentioning about the front runners, and Rick Snyder has now officially said that he would like to be the Republican candidate. But Skubik for governor next time, although the party doesn't know about him. He just turned Republican. He was not a party politician before.
They may have their own ideas,
and because how do they know he's going to do what they tell him? You know, parties like to have somebody in there that will follow lockstep whatever the party tells them, which is one reason I personally don't like political parties that
much. Well, you don't see Dillon doing that, do you?
No. But he's a majority leader. He can sort of spout off if he wants to.
Yeah, how do you think he became majority leader?
What Tim Skubik suggested is that he thinks Rick Snyder would be better off to forget about the Republicans and run as an independent. He's a successful businessman. Mm-hmm. I mean, he started Gateway Computers, which is real big, and he left that, and he's doing some other things
now. Was Gateway Computers a Michigan company?
No, it was Wisconsin. But he moved back to Michigan a few years ago, and he has some companies here that he's been very successful with. And he's a good businessman, and he's got some good ideas. We received some information from him. He's doing tours of the state now in the last 2 weeks, and maybe we can get in touch with him. But it's interesting is that the Democrats and Republicans, all this partisan bickering in Lansing over the last several years, and no leadership really in either party. I mean, let's be honest. You know, even the Amway guy that ran as a Republican against Granholm the last time, he wasn't a party. He was a contributor, but he wasn't a party politician.
It's the problem of divided government because the governor's a Democrat, the state legislature's been dominated by the Senate, now by Republicans.
So I'm just finishing up. Such a candidate, says Tim Skubik, needs lots of money and must appeal to moderates in both parties and voters who vote the person and not the party.
Is there moderates in the Republican Party?
No, but most people in Michigan are kind of moderates. You know, they're not just centrist. They voted for liberal Republicans like Governor Milliken, who I met last weekend, by the way, up in Traverse City Film Festival. Well, you know, Traverse City is, he lives in that area, and the main auditorium downtown is called the Milliken Auditorium.
Yeah.
Guess who gave money there? Yeah.
His wife's a nice lady, too.
And I sat three seats away from Governor Granholm. But her bodyguard and her husband were in the way, so I, you know, I couldn't touch her.
How about Milliken? Did he sit next to her, too?
No, no, it was different nights.
Oh, different nights.
No, no, they don't party. And so he's just suggesting this, and by November 3rd, 2010, we might have another candidate. Tim Skupik, you know, hosts the TV show Off the Record, which is on Friday nights, Channel 8 in Dearborn, and Channel 56 runs it on Sunday mornings, I think at 11:30 or 12 a.m. And so just follow that. That's the only way to follow what's happening in Lansing is Tim Skupik, folks. Thank you, Press and Guide, for covering his editorials. Let's see what else is here in the papers. We only have
the fish story. The fish story.
Actually, 4 minutes left, technically, according to my... I've got two different clocks here I'm looking
at.
We
got started late, so if we're a couple minutes over, no one will get mad.
Okay.
Except Joanne, right?
Right. Well, Joanne Korchinska and Big Band Music comes up at 2 o'clock, and they'll be taking it away from us. Let me see what other stories are here. Ned's got the paper all folded up.
Oh,
very tidy, Ned. But
right. I was thinking you were going to go to the...
What? Did you find a story that I passed?
The Senator Levin's discussion about the Great Lakes.
Well, I think we talked about how polluted things are. Look for the documentary Water Life coming out in a few months, we hope, in your local movie theaters, or at least the main art theater in Royal Oak. Really got some water pollution problems in this state. And that's a terrible thing. So
I don't know if we can stop.
What we're going to do is a summary here, since we're live at Dearborn Homecoming, of what's coming up today and this weekend. We're just going to conclude with that. Okay, Ned?
Oh, the program here. Absolutely.
Yes, right in front of us. Yeah.
Right in front of us.
That for the rest of the...
How about today?
Right. Well, for the Elder Fest, the free ice cream and hot dogs for seniors is over now.
It is. Why didn't you tell me? I could have got...
Well, I went over at 11:30 for the free hot dogs and the drinks.
Oh, my God.
And the gifts. And the line had about 100 people in it.
Really?
So any senior that couldn't stand in line for 20 minutes probably died before they got the hot dogs. So,
well, that's not right.
I thought they should have them sit down in the tent and just bring the hot dogs around to them. Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, and the free ice cream was at 12:30, so that's over.
That. Yeah. I don't care about dancing with the internationals.
Well, the food court is open, and, of course, all the food, like the cotton candy and popcorn place right across from WHFR.
How about
here
today? The rest of tonight, Friday night?
Yeah.
Where
well,
is it?
The musical entertainment from a couple of stages, 6 o'clock, Bobby Lewis and Gia Warner. That is the FCS, also known as the Food Court stage. So that's going to be down in the center of the field. And Larry Lee and the Back in the Day band, which is probably oldies band, Back in the Day, probably oldies music, up at the MS, which stands for the main stage. So that's also down in the field, the big main stage. Now, that's till 9 o'clock, but...
Car show tonight.
Car show is going to be arriving here, and a lot of old cars are going to be cruising into the field and parking so that people can see them park. That's going to be at the children's activity field that's at the so-called top of the hill near Cherry Hill Road here in West Dearborn, top of Ford Field.
Is that where that's going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be CAF. That's
okay.
Children's activity field. So they're going to use that for the car show. And then the Cruisin' Dearborn theme at 9:15, when it starts getting dark, they're going to show movies on a big inflatable movie screen on Ford Field for free. And it's going to have Three Stooges shorts, those sort of wacky slapstick.
Oh, one 15-minute thing after another.
Yeah, a couple of the 10 or 15-minute shorts from the 1940s.
Where is that screen going to be?
It's going to be somewhere in the field. They haven't inflated the screen yet. But, you know, Traverse City does... during the festival, they have a screen. They put it right out by the bay, and you sit on the beach and you watch a movie on the big screen every night. That was last week, so that was where I was. Anyway, the drive-in movie tonight, as they call it, you don't really drive in, folks. You're going to be sitting on the ground or a chair or a blanket you bring with you, is going to be American Graffiti, the great movie from 1974.
When is that?
Richard Dreyfuss, starting at 9:15 or when it gets dark.
Oh, that's different.
No, that is the movie. Yeah, American Graffiti. And I've seen it many times, folks. I got a DVD of it. It's a great family film. It's a flashback to the 1950s. It's high school graduation night. And it's the night of the graduation and the parties. And
what year? Maybe it's my year. I don't know.
Well, it was the movie was made in 1974, but it really flashes back to, I think, 1966 or 67.
So not the 50s.
Because there was not the issue of going to war in Vietnam yet. So it might have been 64 that American Graffiti was based in for flashback. So it might have been 64, I think, before the Vietnam War became significant.
So anyway, there's no admission charge to come to the homecoming.
The only thing,
unless you want to park your car, is a $5 charge.
Well, it's a $5 in the field, but after about 2 or 3 o'clock, there won't be any spaces here.
Anyway,
so the free parking is at Dearborn High School.
When you get a free
shuttle.
There's
a free shuttle from there. So that's the best thing. There's also some kind
on Michigan Avenue, isn't there somewhere?
It's called West Village Drive. It runs parallel to Michigan, but just one street south of Michigan.
And they have a structure.
Yes.
But
right? There's a charge.
Right.
Sunday it's only $1, I think, or maybe it's free on Sunday. But there are places south of Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn where you can park to walk north, and it's only a short, if you can walk easily, 5-8 minutes north of Michigan Avenue off Monroe Street. That's the key location. One side of Monroe is the historical museum, Dearborn Historical Museum, on the north side, and on the other corner is Dearborn Music. No plug intended, but those are your landmarks if you haven't been.